You're listening to the Crosscheck NHL Show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark.
Hello and welcome to the Crosscheck NHL Show. Thanks for making the Crosscheck NHL Show your first listen every Tuesday and Thursday. We are free and available on all platforms. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. My name is Mary Clark, staff writer for The Win, and you can follow me on Twitter at Mary C. Clark. I'm here with Andrew Berkshire, NHL analyst for the Montreal Gazette and host of Game Over Montreal on the SDPN. You can follow on Twitter at Andrew Berkshire. On this Tuesday edition of the Crosscheck, I'm back, and there's a lot of hockey to talk about. First, we'll dive into which teams are in early trouble, like the Maple Leafs and the poor, winless Blackhawks. Next, there's still a handful of undefeated teams left as of Monday, but which ones have surprised us the most? And finally, we'll discuss the Seattle Kraken's really fun home opener. So, Andrew, before we start off today's show, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. We had my sister-in-law was here for the weekend with her oldest, and she got to hang out with Dylan. They went to a wedding together, which was super fun, and I got to stay home with Miles, which was less fun for Miles the entire time. He was, "Mommy, mommy, mommy," and I was like, "You want to play with me?" He's like, "No, no. Don't talk to me."
So,
like, he has a very clear favorite, and I'm not it. But it was fun anyway. I enjoy our time together, even if he doesn't. But yeah, a lot of stuff to enjoy. I got to cover my first win for the new show on SDPN, which was kind of fun. And I'm looking forward to the guests that we have on this week, even though the games are super late in the night. And then we've got Halloween coming up, and I can't wait to roll out my two kids as Thor and Loki. I think that's going to be super fun.
Ooh, that's perfect. Oh, we really don't. Not that I don't do Halloween anymore, but there's not. I mean, I haven't really like gone out to like do like, you know, go to a party or anything. Yeah. I haven't dressed up for Halloween in some time. My sister and I wanted to, us to dress up as the characters from Over the Garden Wall, which is a, you know, very fall centric like mini show from Cartoon Network, because their costumes are pretty iconic. But I was like, where will we go? We're not doing anything. I just don't want to sit in the house wearing a Halloween costume. I'm actually going to be working on Halloween, I believe. So I think it's a Sunday, right? So yeah, I will be working on Halloween, but you know, it is what it is. But as you can hear, I'm back. I'm not Laura, so.
Yeah, I was joking around with Laura saying that you were going to be really upset that she was on the podcast again without you.
Yeah, I know. This is like the fourth time it feels like we've been on, like we have missed each other on the podcast, but it's all good. One day we'll get there. But yes, I'm back. Disney was great. I am exhausted, but I've recovered. It was very fun. Good times. Got to do some really cool rides. Definitely recommend the Star Wars stuff. That was really cool. If you're a big fan of Star Wars, or even if you aren't, it was just really neat. But fun times at Disney. I am glad to be back, though, because you don't want to tire yourself out with too much vacation. And usually when my family does vacation, we go pretty hard. So I am happy to be back, happy to be watching hockey again, because I really didn't watch much hockey because I didn't really have a lot of time and I was exhausted by like 9 p.m. So I wanted to mostly sleep. So I just didn't really do a lot of sports watching. But we're here and we're back with hockey talk. So happy to be here. And I guess, sadly, to lead it off, we're talking about teams in early trouble. And one of those is the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have kind of basically continued on from their Game 7 woes, it feels like, from last playoffs. They are 2-3-1 as of Monday, and they had two really, really bad losses in a row to the Sharks and the Penguins. A very, you know, a Mark Donk game, as we like to say, with the Penguins, because I don't have them specifically listed as something to talk about, but they have absolutely raised the bar in terms of, you know, just continuing to do well when they have so many people missing. That's just kind of how it is with this Penguins team. But the Maple Leafs had two really bad losses. Goalie carousel's already spinning for them. It's not great in Montreal, and it really seems like the fan base is fed up. It seems as if that, you know, those feelings from the end of the playoffs last season have continued on this season. And I feel really bad for Toronto fans, but it is tremendous content, as they like to say.
Yeah, I don't feel bad.
that's fair.
I feel bad for a few. I feel bad for Steve Dangle just because of his blood pressure.
Yes.
That's tough. And I know, like, Steve had to do that game. He did a live stream for Sportsnet for the Penguins game on live on YouTube. And he was like, yeah, as they started losing worse, the viewership went up. And he was like, I was texting him. I was like, how you doing? He's like, people want to see me die, man. Like, people want me to die on stream. And I was like, no, they don't. They want to see your reaction. And, like, I was trying to tell him, like, not, like, there are some people for sure who want to see him freak out. But I think a lot of people want to see him after those big losses because he's the pulse of the fan base. Right? So it's like, yes, there are some people from other fan bases that tune in to see the big, angry Steve games. But there are also a ton of Leafs fans who might not watch all of his videos that tune in when they're also angry to feel a level of catharsis. So don't feel too bad about yourself, Steve. It's not just people who want to see you suffer. Sometimes it's just people who want to suffer with you. And that's what the Maple Leafs fan base is all about. There was a great tweet by my good friend Justin Fisher, who's a huge Leafs fan. And he was saying, like, some people are complaining about the Leafs being a huge disappointment. But this is like my childhood. This is a warm blanket to me.
Oh, yes. The comfort of sports misery. I kind of know that now with, you know, how bad my teams did over the weekend. I really don't want to talk about 9 overtime Penn State football loss to Illinois ever again. That was a that was a miserable football game. But continuing on with the Maple Leafs, it just hasn't been good. I mean, offensively, this team has been stagnant. You know, Mitch Marner, no goals in 6 games. Tavares only has 1 goal and 3 assists. Jason Spezza, of all people, leads the team in goals with 3. I mean, Nylander, I think, leads the team in points with 5 points in 6 games. It's not great. It is really not great. And what concerns me, not just the offense, is, like I mentioned, the goalie carousel that's happening, because Peter Mrazek was injured. I think he's going to be back within a week or so, or maybe he's already back, but he's already injured. Jack Campbell has had a couple, like, up and down stints, and Michael Hutchinson has cost them a game against the Sharks with his performance. It's like I said, it's not great, but that goaltending core was already kind of on, like, not thin ice, but was, like, you know, one slip up from, you know, Jack Campbell, or one injury to, you know, the backup, and it's going to go downhill. And that's kind of what we've been seeing a little bit. But I think the biggest story, though, is the offense. But I wanted to shout out the goaltending, because I don't want to say I called this, but, like, it was
precarious.
It was precarious to begin with. It was super fragile, and they're already kind of finding out what will happen if, you know, you don't have a good backup system. Because, I mean, Peter Mrazek, he was always been like an up and down goaltender, but he's never really been able to stay completely healthy. So the injuries aren't really a surprise to me. And Hutchinson also wasn't, you know, I guess, the best backup. So it's Jack Campbell or nothing. And he's also kind of had a few moments this year of, you know, not looking like his normal self. But it is just, it's a mess out there in Toronto right now, for sure.
Yeah. And I think the other thing we have to keep in mind is, like, Jack Campbell has a long injury history as well. Like, last season, he spent a lot of time injured. So they can't be feeling too stable in goal right now. And when Michael Hutchinson is the guy that has, like, the longest tenure with your team, it's probably not the best. I feel like there's probably going to be options on the goaltender market coming up soon as teams start to fall out of it. But Toronto is not in a good place at the moment. But I look at, like, we talk about the offense. Austin Matthews has played 3 games coming off of, I think, wrist surgery. And he has 17 shots in 3 games. He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. Mitch Marner's underlying numbers are actually, like, really solid. Maybe there's, like, whenever the numbers are great, but the production isn't following, there's probably some level of, like, little things they have to do to get to the point where the puck starts going in the net. But we have to remember that a lot of it is just random variance. And I know people are upset with Mitch Marner because it's kind of carrying through from the crappy playoffs that he had. But I think he's fine. I really think he's fine. Shifting down, they mixed up the lines this morning. So Marner is now going to play with Tavares. And the top line is all new. It's Matthews with William Nylander and Michael Bunting. I think that line has a lot of potential. I've liked Bunting so far. William Nylander, I think, has been, like, straight up incredible, just like he was in the playoffs last year. And Matthews is going to explode. Whether it's now or a couple games from now, it's going to happen. I'm just not concerned about him at all. And I just find it tough to be that concerned about the Maple Leafs either, especially considering when you look at that division outside of the Florida Panthers, like, nobody's killing it, right? Mm-hmm. Tampa is not great. They had another overtime or shootout loss against the Colorado Avalanche, who are also, you know, not great to start the season for whatever reason. They're really struggling. So, like, Florida is looking great. Buffalo started out really hot, but, like, I don't think anybody expects Buffalo to make the playoffs. Yeah. Detroit, they're not going to make the playoffs. Boston looks all right, but Boston was always going to make it. So, like, there's nobody jumping ahead of Toronto that's going to stay there, in my opinion. But it is very funny that after all the dunking on the Canadians that Leafs fans have been doing so far this season, that they're one win ahead.
Yeah, that is kind of how it goes. And I guess also to, you know, help alleviate Leafs fans' concerns, I saw this chart from Jay Fresh Hockey, who we've shouted out on the show many times, that goals scored above expected. This was from a couple days ago. The Leafs are last in the league with -9.9. So I think regression will be coming to hit them hard and hopefully swing the pendulum back, at least in the other way, to get them, you know, back more where they should be. Because you're right, this won't last an entire 82-game season. Mitch Marner will score again. Tavares will score. Matthews will score. We're going to see more from these Maple Leafs. It is just, you know, it does kind of suck for them because, you know, it's one of those things where, like, trying to get away from the bad vibes of last playoff and it's basically the same thing all over again, so it must just be deja vu. But you're right that it is kind of, I guess, like a comfort blanket to some Maple Leafs fans. This is all they've ever known. But continuing on with teams that are kind of in early trouble, you mentioned it. The Canadiens are also in early trouble. We kind of expected this one. I mean, we all talked about how in the offseason we weren't expecting the Canadiens to be a very good team. They were going to drop off out of playoff contention, but this is still a rough one. As of Monday, they're 1-5-0. You said you had finally got to talk about a win on your show, so congratulations.
Thank you.
I know that must be very tough to not have a winning team to talk about. I get it.
It actually wasn't that tough. There's still lots of things to talk about, lots of storylines to talk about, new players, and having different guests every episode. You have, like, different perspectives, so it wasn't that bad. But the Canadians, I mean, they always find a way to make things interesting, although the first five games were, like, literal torture to watch. Like, they're just a really boring team, which is unfortunate, and they kind of got their mojo going against the Detroit Red Wings, and hopefully that carries through a little bit, just because, like, having to commit to watch 82 games of them was not looking so good after the first five. And, like, I actually posted a video to TikTok using one of, like, the popular memes of the, like, the Great British Bake Off one. Like, I'm just now realizing internally might have made an error committing to watching this team 82 games. But no, they've been interesting because you get to look at how they got to this point after making the Stanley Cup final, what's changed, and the roster turnover. I think that there's a lot of leadership questions, but I think the biggest thing with the Canadiens so far is that they've just been boring to watch, right? So it's hard from that perspective. Whereas, like, the Maple Leafs are at least exciting to watch even when they're losing. And then the Blackhawks, which are the other team that we're going to talk about, are exciting to watch because they're an unmitigated disaster.
Yes, we'll talk about the Blackhawks in a second. I want to just give the you know, Montreal their due because, you know, we talked enough about the Maple Leafs, so we should, you know, swing to the other side. But you're right, they beat up on Detroit 6-1 in their first win, but their other games were super rough. I mean, lost to Carolina 4-1, lost to San Jose in a shutout 5-0. That, like, definitely just a really rough go of it early on.
Just and very fragile, no confidence.
Yeah, and the offense, much like the Maple Leafs, was is pretty non-existent. I mean, their leading goal scorer is Matthew Perreault, 3 goals in 5 games. I do want to shout out, I guess, Jonathan Drouin, because he really has, you know, looked, I don't know, good, but, you know, it's nice to see him get out to a early start just because of the ups and downs he's had over his career. So I would love to see if he continues to, you know, build upon early season success. He has, what, 5 points in 6 games with 2 goals. It's not a lot, but still, it was nice to see him, you know, light up the score sheet a little bit and, you know, make some plays. That's definitely a positive I'm taking away so far from the Canadiens this year. But yeah, you're right, they are boring. I mean, Cole Caulfield hasn't done much in 6 games, only just 1 assist. Nick Suzuki, just 1 assist. Their young guys have been pretty quiet so far. But I mean, I guess it's kind of expected. It's still early on in the season. It's really hard to make sweeping generalizations because we're only, what, like a week and a half, 2 weeks, closing in on 3 or something like that. Like,
I mean, we can only talk about what we've seen.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And I mean, I guess we should also mention Jake Allen is in net because, you know, Carey Price is out for at least what was it, 30 days? Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. He's got a 905 save percentage, below average, but...
It doesn't tell the whole story, though.
Yeah, like, it doesn't.
It's weird, like, I think he's been probably their best player. It's been like him and Drouin have been the guys that have showed up every game, and there have been games where things have gone out of control for the Canadians in terms of allowing goals, but it's like they get just absolutely lit up on special teams. They're like, that's the biggest problem. They're not great at even strength so far either, but their special teams are just absolutely abysmal, and that's been the case for years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely not the one losing them games. He's just kind of a, you know, unintended, you know, victim, I guess, here of kind of, you know, the Canadians' woes. But like I said, we're not expecting them to do great things this season, or at least, I mean, I wasn't. I definitely think you're in the same boat as me, not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they're still in early trouble just because of how bad they have been, how boring they've been to watch. But the biggest team that is in early trouble, even more so than the Maple Leafs, but because the Maple Leafs are such a high profile team, and everybody has eyes on them, the Chicago Blackhawks. Oh boy.
Yeah, they are a mess.
It is you're right. I think you said what, unmitigated disaster. That is, I think, the best way to describe them. They're 0-5-1 as of Monday. Sunday, they got lit up by the Detroit Red Wings of all teams, 6-3.
And the Red Wings, remember, were coming off of a back-to-back where both their goaltenders played.
Yeah.
You know, like, exactly. That was not a rested team.
Mm-hmm. Like, so, it's bad. Poor Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh, my God. That, you know what?
8.39 save percentage in four games. Is this man going to retire in the middle of the season? Because I feel so bad for him. I feel terrible.
I know.
He could have just ended on a high note by winning the Vezina Trophy. And then he stuck it out. It really is. I mean, we can talk, you know, legacy all we want, but I don't think this is going to ruin his reputation whatsoever. No. I think it's just also compounded by the fact that this Chicago team is just a disaster, a mess, like completely from top to bottom. I mean, Seth Jones so far hasn't panned out. He's been pretty bad from the numbers I have seen. It's just all over the ice. This team is just disastrous. And then it all culminated in pictures I saw on Twitter on Sunday night of Jeremy Colliton. Is that how you say?
Yeah, Colliton.
Yeah, Colliton. He was, I think, I don't remember if like they had the Blackhawks had like the goalie pulled, and he gave the whiteboard to the players to have them draw up a play. That's at least what it seems like. I don't know if there's been any updates on that, but it just seems like a complete disaster all around the team. No confidence in the coach, it seems like. No confidence just in the players themselves. It's just all up in the air. It's just really bad right now in Chicago.
Yeah, it's ugly. And like, as much as it's kind of satisfying to watch the Chicago Blackhawks, who've denied the whole sexual assault scandal that's gone on, and they're kind of fighting that in court instead of coming clean and doing the right thing. The whole Marc-Andre Fleury thing, a guy who is like universally beloved in NHL circles, like the start that he's had is so depressing to me. Like my heart hurts when I look at his save percentage right now. And it's not going to be this bad all season. Like, things will recover a bit, but he looks so flustered, and they're just not giving him any help on the defensive side. It is brutal to watch. And like you said, Seth Jones, he's been outscored 10-1 at even strength so far. Like, it ain't good.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at they're in what, year one of that deal? Like, it's a lot of pain for Chicago right now. And not to even mention, you know, what's going on with their football team, with the Bears and everything, and all that disaster, because that is also a disaster too. But like, it's just not good. Like, you're right. I feel the most for Marc-Andre Fleury here, because the Blackhawks have been, you know, they've painted themselves, rightfully so, as kind of villains in the NHL with, you know, the scandals and everything.
Yeah, as did the Canadians, right? So it's kind of all the villains are getting their pound of flesh taken away at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, exactly. But I really, like you said, Marc-Andre Fleury is the person who I feel for the most, because, like I said, he could have just gone out on a high note and retired, and nobody would have thought otherwise. I mean, he's getting up there in years. I don't think anybody would have thought badly of him for retiring off of that. But this just, it sucks to see. It really, really does. But it will get better. I don't think we're going to see a performance this bad continue through however many games he plays this year. but and it's still early. So there's at least hope there, but I know the Blackhawks were kind of a stealth playoff pick for some people considering their offseason moves, but so far it's been just a complete disaster. I have to wonder if, you know, people are on the hot seat there just because of they made so many win now moves in the offseason and they have yet to win at all. So
yeah, it's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely something I'm going to keep an eye on for, you know, as the early season rolls on, because that seems to be the hottest seat right now in the NHL is in Chicago. So coming up next, though, from teams that are in early trouble to teams that have not lost yet. We're going to talk about the handful of undefeated teams left in the NHL, of which there are a few, and some of them are kind of surprising, at least to me anyway. So we will talk about that right after the break. BetOnline is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Promo code LOCKEDON. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So, like I said, moving on from teams that are in trouble to teams that are undefeated, because there are still a few of them left, and I'm kind of surprised. So far we've got the Florida Panthers, Edmonton Oilers, St. Louis Blues, and Carolina Hurricanes, as of Monday, are all undefeated, have not lost in regulation or overtime. And then we also have the Penguins and Capitals are undefeated in regulation but have lost in either overtime or shootout. So they're kind of like, I guess, more of a footnote. We're going to be focusing more on the four teams I mentioned. And is there, Andrew, a big surprise to you so far? Because there's one team that stands out to me as kind of a surprise considering their goalie situation that we talked about in the offseason.
Yeah, the Oilers, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah,
I mean, I don't think anybody expected Mike Smith to repeat what he's been able, what he did last season. He's been all right, but I think the biggest issue for the Oilers, or lack of issue for the Oilers, has been the offense, right? The additions that they made at forward have really helped them out. And so far, the losses that they had on defense haven't hurt them that much. But also, like, Connor McDavid, I believe, is scoring at something like a 225-point pace.
Yeah, I just looked it up. He has 13 points in 5 games. Oh my goodness gracious.
He is a monster, and Leon Draisaitl's right there behind him. I didn't think that he would be able to outdo last season. Yeah. And it's early. But maybe he can outdo last season. Like, he is a mutant. Like, some sort of hockey-playing robot from the future, enhanced by, like, the secret ooze from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know what's going on with him, but there is nobody who's been able to put up points like that since the 1980s. And he's doing, like, he's literally turning the goaltenders of the Oilers' opponents into 1980s goaltenders. Like, the Oilers so far, I believe the goaltenders they've faced have put up a save percentage of, like, 87%.
Yeah.
Which, like, that's not going to last forever, but wow. Wow. Like, they shot out of a cannon to start this year, and I'm happy for them. I'm happy for the Oilers. I'm happy for a lot of the Oilers fans that I know. I think it's incredible. I don't think there's too much to talk about with them outside of that. I think that, the Panthers feeling extremely good about me predicting that they were going to take the Atlantic. And I actually put a bet on that because the odds were so good. I had to write an article about betting and season preview stuff. And I saw the odds for the Panthers. They were like the fourth best team listed in the odds. And I was like, okay, I'm going to put $100 on that because I think they're almost like a shoe-in to win. The losses that Tampa Bay took, the Stanley Cup hangover, Toronto's never a great regular season team. Like, last year's the first year they won the division in like 60 years or something crazy like that. And the Bruins also, like, I think they're good, but I don't think they're going to win the division good. So I'm loving that. I love the fact that they're kicking butt, and I'm shocked that they're doing it with Sergei Bobrovsky as the starter. That's the main thing.
Yeah. Like, take your victory laps, Andrew.
Partially, because I thought it'd be Spencer Knight with the ropes at the beginning. But, like, I know, like, Dom Lucision, friend of the show, put in his, like, season predictions thing. He was like, Sergei Bobrovsky's going to bounce back this year. And he's like, super bold take. And he did it with, like, Sean Gentile. And Sean was like, you're an idiot. That is never going to happen. Stop that. And Dom was like, yeah, I know. I just wanted to put it out there. And Sergei Bobrovsky's bouncing back this season. Like, what? Since when?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny how, you know, the Andrei Vasilevskis and the Connor Hellebucks and the Marc-Andre Fleurys are all kind of struggling to begin the season. You've got Sergei Bobrovsky with a 9.42 save percentage. Yeah, which is, I think, his highest, you know, it would be his highest in his career. Obviously, it's not going to stay that way, but that is a, you know, he's been on fire this year. And that's really helped with the Panthers, too, because the Panthers have the best goal differential in the NHL at plus 13. And right behind them is Edmonton, which, you know, we mentioned. And I guess I just wanted to say one final thing on Edmonton, which is, you know, you're right. It's nice to see that. And Zach Hyman also has been a really great addition for them. He's got 5 goals and an assist for 6 points in 5 games. Not obviously as flashy as McDavid or Draisaitl, but definitely someone that is adding to that offensive production, like we mentioned. But back to the Panthers. Yeah, Bobrovsky's performance has been... It's hurt me just a little bit because, you know, I remember when he was on the Flyers for a very brief time. But yeah, it's been great to see him bounce back because he really hasn't lived up to that contract. But if he continues to impress this season, he will. And you're right, we all kind of thought that Spencer Knight was going to be the one taking, you know, the reins in net this year.
Could happen.
Yeah, but this is a good sign for Florida that Bobrovsky is playing up to his contract and is playing like the goaltender the Panthers thought he was going to be when they signed him to that contract. That gives you more options. That means, like, you don't just have to rely on a rookie goaltender to make the playoffs this year. If he continues to be like this, they could have a platoon system. And, you know, you could get Spencer Knight in for games. And if, you know, he struggles, you can bring back Bobrovsky. It's like, it's a really great sign for the Panthers that they have Bobrovsky doing this already early on. And you're right, it is early, but still, it's been definitely a very fun storyline to follow throughout the season so far. And, you know, I mean, the Florida Panthers beat up on the Flyers the other night. I mean, they didn't really beat up on them, but, you know, they won and continue to remain undefeated. And yeah, it's just the Panthers are a really good story this year, and I can see why everybody was predicting them so highly, so I get it.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun. I mean, I guess we should also talk about the Hurricanes as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hurricanes and the Blues are the last two undefeated teams as of Monday, but we can go first on the Hurricanes.
Yeah, you know what? I think the Blues actually might be more shocking than the Oilers.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think they're a very good team.
Interesting. I had kind of the Blues as, I guess, a bit of a surprise. I can't remember specifically where I picked them, but I feel like I had them making it into the playoffs. Not by this degree, certainly, but I definitely was a bit higher on their chances than I think other people were. But I can see why you would think that's surprising.
Yeah, I just think, like, losing Vince Dunn in the offseason, maybe Tarasenko, I was expecting him to be gone by the beginning of the year, but yeah, they've been good to start the year. I think Carolina is more interesting because, you know, they made some bigger wholesale changes. Losing Dougie Hamilton and then kind of trying to absorb that with Ethan Bear and Tony D'Angelo, which has seemingly worked out fairly well on the ice so far. I really like Ethan Bear. I think he's been great on that top pairing with Jacob Slavin. And the depth of the Hurricanes forwards is just crazy. Like, they're a really fun team, and I hope they do well. I hope they also trade D'Angelo.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think we can all agree on that front. They definitely took a hit in terms of, you know, their likability because of all of that, especially with, you know, adding D'Angelo. And I still don't think he's worth having, even if he is, you know, helping you offensively. But obviously we see differently. Me and the Hurricanes see that differently. But I also want to shout out Frederick Anderson, who has also played really well. Mm-hmm. Definitely being bolstered by the fact that the Hurricanes play such a very defensively sound system. But he has a 944 save percentage in four games played. Obviously, again, still early. Hard to make sweeping generalizations. But that's a good bounce back so far from him. Especially huge. After, you know, being injured last season. He's really been kind of up and down. Sometimes steady for the Maple Leafs. But mostly consistently an average goaltender from what I'm looking at. So it would be great to see him, you know, get a little bit above average to, you know, help Carolina out this year. So definitely a big piece of that team, but also bolstered by the fact that the Hurricanes play such a defensive style and make that such a huge part of their game and puck possession and all of that. So it definitely helps. You have to be a very terrible goaltender if you don't succeed in Carolina, I think.
Yeah, and they've had no trouble finding terrible goaltenders.
Yep, exactly. I mean,
so this is the first year that they've actually kind of valued goaltending and brought in a name, right? So I think that could be a big difference for them. Still dubious of Frederick Anderson when it comes to playoff time, but he's been full value so far. And by the time you get to listen to this show, he will have faced his former team in the Toronto Maple Leafs. And let's just go put it out there, hopefully broken their hearts a little bit.
Yeah, that's very possible. I could absolutely see that the Toronto misery continues at least for a little bit longer. But the last team, at least we had in terms of completely undefeated, like you mentioned, the Blues. Interesting stat, their leading point scorer right now is Jordan Kyrou with 8 points in four games, mostly built off the fact that he has 6 assists, which leads the team. But David Perron is leading the team in goals. And you mentioned Tarasenko, who has 4 points in four games so far, just one goal. But so far, so good for the Blues. Definitely also boistered by the fact that Jordan Binnington has at least been a little bit above average to start the year and hasn't, you know, kind of exploded completely in the way that he sometimes does. So definitely a team that I guess is a little bit surprising. I was, like I said, a bit more high on their additions, at least to their offense, especially getting Tarasenko back. I know that relationship has soured between the two sides, but so far it seems like things are working out for them. So definitely I'm going to keep my eye on them throughout the early portion of the season. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say a few things going well for the Blues so far is Colton Parayko looks like he's bounced back after a couple of years where he was trending downwards, which is massive for them because they really need him to be their top defenseman. And, Tarasenko contributing really well, not just in terms of point production, but he's drawing penalties. He's not taking a lot of penalties. He's been solid on the power play. And you've got, you mentioned David Perron. David Perron has got to be one of the hardest working guys in the league in terms of working on his skills and trying to get better. And I love seeing him succeed because I know how much time he puts in and how much he pours over like data about his own game. So it's really fun to see him succeed. And Jordan Kyrou having a breakout season would be incredible for them. So they put themselves in good position.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I guess before we move on from this segment, like I said, I wanted to shout out the Pittsburgh Penguins and Washington Capitals for making me look like a fool again. This always happens. This always happens. So you should be happy, Penguins fans and Capitals fans, that I continue to bet against your teams because I'm always incorrect and they always do well. They have not lost in regulation. They both have 2 overtime or shootout losses to their names so far, but a bit surprising, especially the Penguins continuing to do well without their biggest names. But that's kind of the strength of this team. Mike Sullivan always seems to, you know, get more. He always seems to get more from his players when, like, you know, they've got that next man up mentality. And it's really something to see, even though I absolutely hate them. The Capitals continue, though, to just defy expectations all across the board, at least for me, because I was definitely thinking that they were also going to take a step back this season. But they have not.
And Ovi's scoring 2 points a game, goal yep. a game. Oh. Like, we love to see it.
Yes, we love to see it. Please, Ovechkin, continue to keep scoring. Definitely something I'm paying attention to because he's just so fun to watch. And I think there's a possibility that my prediction may come true, that he may score 40 goals and the Capitals miss the playoffs. There's still a realm of possibility where that happens. So I know that that was a hot take at the time, but I will stand by it until I am proven incorrect. But coming up next after the break, we're going to talk. The Seattle Kraken had their home opener And it was kind of fun. And we will talk about that coming up right after this. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating and questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in there, how did you hear about us box so they know we sent you? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So, the Seattle Kraken had their home opener finally after a couple weeks of waning. I was surprised that the NHL didn't have them play early on. Like earlier at home in the season, but maybe it had
there
to
must
do with,
have been some sort of scheduling conflict.
I think so. I think there was like a Coldplay concert the night before, so there was definitely some sort of scheduling conflicts to do with their stadium. Sadly for Kraken fans, they lost 4-2 in their home opener to the Vancouver Canucks, but still it was a really cool atmosphere. It was really awesome to see just, you know, what the Kraken fans were like, and they didn't disappoint. I know a lot of people are going to compare them directly to Vegas, but it's going to be so hard. Vegas set the bar so high for, you know, in like entertainment in game, just the unique atmosphere. No one is like Vegas in the NHL. They kind of stand alone in their uniqueness. So it's definitely one of those things where you shouldn't compare, I think, the Kraken to them. I know people were, you know, being like it wasn't as, you know, hype or it wasn't as, you know, interesting, but it was more traditional, but I liked that about the Kraken. But everything I really enjoyed. It did suck that they didn't win, but I really thought it was a really great first showing from Seattle and their fans so far this year.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch much of it because I was live, I believe, doing my show while that was going on. But I did watch a couple of the highlights, and the pop from the crowd when they scored their first goal was spectacular. So I'm just really excited for the future for them. I am kind of disappointed with the way the Kraken are playing so far. Like, I know that they are not, you know, as strong as Vegas was to start out their venture as a franchise, you know. They weren't able to make the trades that Vegas was, but overall, I'm just not really happy with how they've come out to start the season. I wanted to see them surprise more teams, and it seems like that just hasn't been in the cards. Hopefully things get better for them as the season goes on, because it's been quite the disappointment to only have one win in six games for them. But hey, you know what? Vegas is right there with them with all the injuries that they have. It's not the Pacific Division that we predicted at the beginning of the season, Mary.
No, that's for sure. I definitely think Seattle, their defense is kind of failing them a little bit, which is weird because we kind of thought that was going to be their strength. I know that they really haven't scored a whole ton, but I definitely think that from what I remember, they held leads going into the third period for a couple of games, and then they coughed up the lead and it turned into a loss for them. So they've definitely struggled a little bit in terms of, you know, defense, allowing a bunch of shots. Even Philip Grubauer has kind of struggled. He's played five games and has an .869 save percentage. So I know that he was probably going to have time to adjust coming off of, you know, the Avalanche's really stout defense. But still, I definitely expected more, like you said, from this team, considering all we talked about them was, you know, how good their defense was, and we weren't sure where the scoring was going to come from. But I mean, early on, it's been Jared McCann and Brandon Tanev have been like the big offensive scorers for them. But it's just their defense hasn't really been able to rally around them and, you know, match that same kind of level that we've seen at least offensively from them.
Yeah, and I think I have a theory about that I kind of push out there every year, is that I think the first month of the season is the messiest month, and it's when teams are like kind of figuring out their systems. And like, yes, they do have training camp, but training camp isn't, you know, NHL hockey, right? There's preseason, but it's not highly competitive. And that first month of the season, I think, heavily favors teams who are, like, all-out offense versus teams that play, like, very team-first systems. So maybe as things get together for the Kraken, the rest of the season will go much more smoothly. But then that kind of brings us back to the Maple Leafs, and it's like, this is the month where you should be dominating, and it ain't happening. So it's, like, who knows what it actually is, but this is my theory, and for now, I'm going to stick to it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, we've all kind of known, at least for a while, that the first month of the season is really the, like, where offense explodes. It's really, like,
more games power plays.
Yeah, games are really fun because leads are changing. It's high offense. You know, systems haven't really settled in as much. You know, more penalties are taken, so more power play opportunities, which means more scoring. And then it usually settles, you know, around mid-November, maybe even a little bit before then. So there's still time. But you mentioned earlier that the Pacific is not the way that we thought it was going to go. And you're right, because I'm just going to run down the first couple of teams. Edmonton at first, which I think a lot of people basically had them second behind Vegas. So that's not too surprising. But the rest of it is. San Jose is in second with 8 points. The Vancouver Canucks are third. Calgary's fourth. Anaheim fifth. LA sixth. And then Seattle and Vegas bringing up the rear. Like we said,
shocking.
It's early. So there is obviously time for these numbers to completely flip. It's very possible that a month from now, Vegas is back up on top. And, you know, San Jose has slid to the bottom. But I think you and Laura talked a little bit about San Jose last week about how they've, you know, there's no more Evander Kane, and yet they're still doing really well offensively. So it's just been definitely a bit of a surprise to me. But you're right in that the Pacific Division is definitely not in the way we thought it would be. But I don't think it's going to stay this way for long, if I had to guess.
Yeah, it's probably not going to stay. I think there's some, like, early season excitement from young kids in San Jose, and, you know, the beginning of the season is always chaos, right? And a team like the Montreal Canadiens or the San Jose Sharks, they could do what they're doing in this short spurt in the middle of the season, and a lot of people wouldn't even really notice. There'd be, like, some level of criticism, but because everything starts at zero at the beginning of the year, it just stands out to a ridiculous degree. So I think a lot of this stuff is just early season craziness, and while I love it, I don't expect it to continue too much, and things will become a little bit more predictable as we get into November, December, January, and it'll be a little bit closer to what Mary and I said before the season. I promise.
Yeah.
Promise.
We're not always completely wrong. Maybe it's just me. Andrew has the smart takes on this podcast.
I mean, sometimes. You know what? I did do pretty well this week in my predictions, so.
Good. That's good. That's what we like to see. But at least moving it back to Seattle before we move on to our final segment, which is our pop culture segment. Definitely disappointed in their play, but their jerseys are still absolutely gorgeous on the ice. The white ones, their away jerseys are the better of the two, but it was still great, like, seeing them in their home building with those blues and, you know, the rest of the fans wearing the jerseys. They've really knocked it out of the park in terms of branding. So even if they're kind of a disappointment on the ice, and I don't think many people are expecting a lot of things from this season, they're going to have a very well-established fan base because, you know, Seattle's hockey-starved, and they just did really well with their branding. So congratulations to Seattle for continuing to at least knock the, you know, the other stuff that isn't just your play out of the park, because we're disappointed with you in terms of, like, your on-ice play. But at least your branding and your jerseys look really, really good. So
this offseason, we're going to have to do, like, a full-on jersey ranking show. And we'll, like, we'll also at the same time decide, like, which teams have better whites versus the solid colors.
Mm-hmm. No, this is true. I feel like
that'd be really fun.
This is, yes, please. Because I definitely think Vegas also has better white jerseys than home jerseys. But I think just the way the colors work on both Seattle and Vegas, their colors work better, I think, on the white jerseys than the home jerseys. But coming up next is our pop culture roulette segment, where I can already tell Andrew has put something in here that we can talk about for a little bit, but I didn't finish it. But I went to Disney. I'm sorry. Okay. I was going to finish it. I just got very busy with, you know, being in Disney. But we'll talk about that coming up right after this. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, and the new and improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out, as you've got coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. There's something for everyone with Built Bar, and if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box where you get two of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Built Bar is great for any health-conscious person, as you can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. All the Built Bar flavors have between 17 to 18 grams protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. All amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie, or whatever you'd like. All bars are covered in 100% chocolate and are soft and easy to chew. So go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, Andrew, it's our pop culture segment of the week, and I'm sorry for bursting your bubble that you can't talk about Squid Game up until the last two episodes, because those are the ones I had to stop before I went away to Disney. So
that's
we
okay.
can talk about it up until then. I don't
know. So spoilers up until then.
Yes, spoilers up until then. Have you been watching it in Korean or
yes.
in... Yeah, okay, good, because I've been watching it in Korean too, so...
Yeah, I've been watching it in Korean and with subtitles. I don't like dub. I think you lose a lot of the actors' performances when it's dubbed. So I wanted to keep it... I wanted to view it as much as I can in its natural state without understanding Korean.
Yeah.
Although I do know a couple of Korean words now because... one of my oldest son, his daycare educator is Korean, so he comes home and sings songs in Korean all the time.
Aww.
So it's really cute. But yeah, so it's I really like the series. So you've seen the episode with the marbles, right?
Yes, I saw that. Yes. I saw up until there's three people remaining. That's
okay.
The last time I saw was there's now three people left. I haven't seen anything else after that. So
okay, so yeah, I don't think it gets better than the marble episode. That is like the high point for me. I will just say, not a spoiler, but I didn't love the ending.
Ooh, interesting. I heard that the ending, not that it's controversial, but people were talking about it and I didn't, that was at the time when I hadn't watched it yet, so I didn't really know what was going on, but I know that ending had a lot of people talking. So I'm interested to find out why people hate it. So is this like set up for another... like series, like will they go a second season, or is this just kind of like it, try and not spoil it as best you can, but is this one of those things where it's like, is it a WandaVision where it's one self-contained story, or do you think that there's going to be more seasons after this?
There's potential to have more seasons after this, but I don't think that it needs to either.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Like they left it in a way that like they could leave it or they could go back into it, and I don't know if I want them to go back into it. But I guess if they have a good story to tell, like it's always one of those things, right? Like you're always a little bit nervous about where the sequel could go on something that's like really good. But
yeah.
I hope if they do a second season that they really kill it on the story side, because I think emotionally and story side for most of this series, it was really, really good. And it didn't pull punches, which is always something that is difficult for a TV show, especially if they want to do multiple seasons. So it was a good series. I'm glad that I watched it, because I feel like for the first week or so that it was out, I was really missing out on all the memes. I was like, what does this mean? What does that mean? What are these people talking about? So
yeah.
I'm glad I'm caught up.
Yeah, that's always kind of how it is. That's kind of how I feel with Dune right now. The new movie that just came out based off the book. I have HBO Max, so I will probably watch it. I don't know if I'll watch it before our next episode, but that is
I've heard that you really have to experience it in IMAX.
I don't care what the cinematographers say. I don't care. I'm gonna watch it in the comfort of my own home. It's just easier.
I got tickets to Eternals for next Friday, so I'm excited about that.
That's right, that does come out soon. Maybe I'll make a trip for that, but I don't know if I'll see Dune in theaters. That's kind of one of those things where I'll put on and watch, but I'm okay watching it just in my in my own space. I don't need to see the full cinematic experience, but we'll see. I think that that's perfectly an acceptable way to watch theater. But good to know about Squid Game. I am really excited to eventually get to the end of it. Like I said, I watched it before I went away to Disney, and then I got super busy trying to get ready to go away, and then I have not been able to find the time to continue it because I've been busy with other things. But that's cool. And like I said, Dune is kind of on my list of things to watch. Never read the book. Heard really good things about the movie. I don't know anything other than spice drugs.
Yeah,
space opera, giant worms.
That's one of the things that I read about it was that one of the biggest challenges in adapting it is that the first Star Wars movie, A New Hope, is like a straight up ripoff of Dune. And just like a lot of the big story beats are just everyone associates with A New Hope now. So it was trying to tell that story without uninitiated people thinking that it was a ripoff of Star Wars. So that's tough. And I really love Denis Villeneuve as a filmmaker. I think that he's probably, like, him and the cinematographers that he worked with make, to me, like, the most aesthetically pleasing movies that I watch on a regular basis. Like, Arrival is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, yeah. That was a good film.
Yeah. I love Prisoners. Sicario was really good. Blade Runner 2049, I will probably be a very, very controversial opinion, but I like it more than Blade Runner.
I haven't seen the new Blade Runner.
It's very good. Very good. And it has one of the best outtake images of all time, which is when Harrison Ford accidentally punched Ryan Gosling for real. Which, if you go and find it, it is fantastic because Harrison Ford is like holding his hand like, oh, what did I do? And Ryan Gosling taking the punch is now like looking back at the camera. And he's got this look on his face like, I just got punched by Harrison Ford. And he's like excited that he got punched by Harrison Ford. Greatest outtake image I've ever seen from a movie. Oh, really, really good. But yeah, I like Denis Villeneuve. So I'm excited to see that movie. I just don't know if it'll be in theaters just because like fitting it in while having two kids in the middle of a pandemic still is. I've basically only been seeing Marvel movies in theaters.
Yeah, I mean, the last movie I saw in theaters was Shang-Chi, and we talked about that. So
it was great.
Yes, it was. But yes, I do want to watch Dune. That's definitely on my list of things to watch. I don't know if I'll get to see it in theaters, just because having the convenience of watching it at home is just so much easier. But we'll see about that. But I think that's all, at least from my perspective on pop culture. I don't know if you have anything else. I know a lot of it is, you know... I mean, my biggest pop culture thing is I went to Disney and that was fun. Definitely highly, like I said, highly recommend the Star Wars rides there, especially Rise of the Resistance. It was a super long wait. We had to get up super early to get into the park to, you know, run to the line, stand in line for nearly 2 hours, but it was definitely worth it. Glad we did it. And I think the only other things I'm doing are I kind of want to get back into Animal Crossing because they have a new update coming in a couple weeks. That kind of like revitalizes the game. And I spent a lot of time in Animal Crossing when it first dropped during the pandemic. And then like everybody else, I stopped playing it. So I think I've restarted and I might do more in there. Continuing to play Final Fantasy 14 as Endwalker comes up within basically a month. So lots of things happening on my ends, but hopefully I'll get to talk Squid Game with you. Maybe by the next time we talk to each other, Andrew, because I would like to get it done, but like my work schedule has also changed too. So like it's trying to, you know, fit everything in, fit everything, including this podcast and my work into my schedule. But
I hear that. Mine has changed as well. But yep. I guess before we go, I have like one tease for our next episode.
Ooh, go for it.
Because it's our guest episode. We're gonna bring in Steve Dangle.
Yeah. Very excited. Very excited. Hopefully there's something positive to talk about from the Maple Leafs. I mean, I know negative stuff is more content. No, I always feel bad when, because we had him on the last time right after the, Game 7 loss. It's just tough to like have, you know, a guest that's like miserable. I know that makes for great content, but I'm empathetic. So it's like, man, this sucks. So, but Steve is a good dude. I mean, he's technically, I guess, kind of your boss in a sense. So it'd be fun to have your boss on the good old podcast. So definitely something to look forward to. So I guess if you want complete chaos, root for bad things to happen to the Maple Leafs between now and Thursday when our next podcast comes out. But that is all the time we have for you today on the CrossCheck NHL Show. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice, from Apple to Odyssey to Spotify. And rate and review us while we're at it. You can follow the pod at CrossCheckNHL on Twitter, me and Mary C. Clark on Twitter, and Andrew at Andrew Berkshire on Twitter. Thanks for making the CrossCheck NHL Show your first listen every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll be back on Thursday with some more puck talk, but now you can make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms.